Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Ksubis, Daf Ein Dal, the seventh parak, Hamadir. The Zichu Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaKazachas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said in the name of Yochanan, HaMekadosh al Tanai Ubaal, Divrei HaKol, Eino Tzricha Hamena Get. If one was Mekadosh a woman with a Tanai and then had relations with her, and then it was discovered that the Tanai was not fulfilled, according to everyone, meaning Rav and Shmuel, she does not need a get from him. This is in line with Rav's view. Rav Acha bar Yaakov's sister's son, Rav Acha bar Rav Ika, challenged him from the following. It was taught in a braisa, chalitza mutes kashera. A mistaken chalitza is valid, and Rishuakish explained that this is kosher omel choezla ubekach atakonsa. Wherever the oven was told, perform chalitza, and through that you will marry her, meaning he was tricked into giving her chalitza. But Rabbi Yochanan said that another braisa taught that chalitza is only effective when both the yovam and yovama have the proper kavana. Rather, a chalitza mutes is kosher omel choezla amenashi titin lachom matayim zuz. Wherever he was told, perform chalitza in order that she gives you 200 zuz. Rav Acha bar Rav Ika said, why is the chalitza valid? It's because the avad maisa achuli achli l'tanai, since he performed an act without reiterating the tanai, it must mean he was mocho on the tanai. Here too, since he had bia without reiterating the tanai, he must have been mocho on the tanai. Point number two, Rav Acha responded to his nephew's challenge by explaining why the chalitza case is different. Since all tanaim are learned from the tanai that Moshe made with Menei Gad and Menei Reuben, a tanai must resemble that original tanai and be able to be carried out by a shaliach, just like Moshe made Yehoshua his shaliach. Tanai de lefshua kiyume al yidei shaliach will have tanai. A tanai that cannot be carried out by a shaliach is not a valid tanai, and a chalitza cannot be done by a shaliach. Therefore, no tanai can be attached to it. When the Gemara asks how a tanai can be attached to a kedushin done through bia, since it also cannot be affected through a shaliach, it answers hasim mishum de iskush havayus uhadadi. There, a tanai is valid because the various ways of becoming married are compared to one another. Rashi explains that the Torah includes all three forms of kedushin in the pasuk v'haisa lishacher, she shall become a wife to another man. Since a tanai is effective for the other methods of kedushin, such as kesef or shtar, which can be accomplished through a shaliach, it's also effective for kedushin through bia, even though it cannot be accomplished through a shaliach. And point number three was taught in a braisa regarding a case where the husband was mekadosh a woman on condition that she had no vows or physical defects. Halcha etzel chacham hitira mekudeshes. If she went to a chacham and he was matir the neder, she's mekudeshes. Halcha etzel rofe v'rifa osa enu mekudeshes. If she went to a doctor who healed her, she is not mekudeshes. What's the difference? Chacham okres a neder meikaru. V'rofe enu merape el mekanu l'aba. A chacham uproots the neder retroactively from its very inception, while a doctor cures the defect only moving forward. When the Gemara brings a contradictory braisa, then in both cases, she's not mekudeshes. Rabbi answers that the first braisa is Rabbi Meir, who says, Adam rotzeh shetizbaz de'ishto bebeisen, a man is willing to embarrass his wife in beisen to annul her vow, and therefore he did not intend to void the marriage if the neder could be annulled. The second braisa is Rabbi Elazar, who said, that a man is not willing to embarrass his wife by having her appear in beisen, and therefore he intended to avoid the marriage if she's under a vow, even if it could be annulled. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Mekadosh al Tanai Ubaal Divrei HaKol Eino Tzricha Hamena Get." If one was mekadosh a woman with a Tanai, and then he had relations with her, and then it was discovered that the Tanai was not fulfilled, according to everyone, meaning Rav and Shmuel, she does not need a get from him. This is in line with Rav's view. Rav Acha bar Yaakov's sister's son, Rav Acha bar Rav Ika, challenged him from the following. It was taught in a braisa, chalitza mutes kashera. A mistaken chalitza is valid, and Rishuakish explained that this is kosher omel choezla ubekach atakonsa. Wherever the oven was told, perform chalitza, and through that you will marry her, meaning he was tricked into giving her chalitza. But Rabbi Yochanan said that another braisa taught that chalitza is only effective when both the yovam and yovama have the proper kavana. Rather, a chalitza mutes is kosher omel choezla amenashi titin lachom matayim zuz. Wherever he was told, perform chalitza in order that she gives you 200 zuz. Rav Acha bar Rav Ika said, why is the chalitza valid? It's because the avad maisa achuli achli l'tanai, since he performed an act without reiterating the tanai, it must mean he was mocho on the tanai. Here too, since he had bia without reiterating the tanai, he must have been mocho on the tanai. Point number two, Rav Acha responded to his nephew's challenge by explaining why the chalitza case is different. Since all tanaim are learned from the tanai that Moshe made with Menei Gad and Menei Reuben, a tanai must resemble that original tanai and be able to be carried out by a shaliach, just like Moshe made Yehoshua his shuliach. Tanai de lev shuliach kiyumei al yidei shaliach will have a tanai. A tanai that cannot be carried out by a shaliach is not a valid tanai, and a chalitza cannot be done by a shaliach. Therefore, no tanai can be attached to it. When the Gemara asks how a tanai can be attached to a kedushin done through bia, since it also cannot be affected through a shaliach, it answers hasi mishum de iskush havayis uhadadi. There, a tanai is valid because the various ways of becoming married are compared to one another. Rashi explains that the Torah includes all three forms of a kedushin in the pasuk v'haisa lishacher, she shall become a wife to another man. Since a tanai is effective for the other methods of kedushin, such as kesef or shtar, which can be accomplished through a shaliach, it's also effective for kedushin through bia, even though it cannot be accomplished through a shaliach. And point number 3 was taught in a braisa regarding a case where the husband is mekadesh a woman on condition that she had no vows or physical defects. Halcha eitz ochachem hitira mekudeshes. If she went to ochachem and he was matir the neder, she's mekudeshes. Halcha eitz orofe verifa osa enu mekudeshes. If she went to a doctor who healed her, she is not mekudeshes. What's the difference? Chacham okres a neder meikaru. Verofe enu merape el mekanu haba. Ochachem uproots the neder retroactively from its very inception, while a doctor cures the defect only moving forward. When the Gemara brings a contradictory braisa, then in both cases, she's not mekudeshes. Rabbi answers that the first braisa is Rabbi Meir, who says, Adam Rotze Shitizbaz de Ishto Bebasin, a man is willing to embarrass his wife in Basin to annul her vow, and therefore he did not intend to void the marriage if the neder could be annulled. The second braisa is Rabbi Lazar, who said, that a man is not willing to embarrass his wife by having her appear in Basin, and therefore he intended to avoid the marriage if she's under a vow, even if it could be annulled. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Ein Dalet, and our standard Simon is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The confused aiding to the Chalitza Mutes, where the Yavam was told the Yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the Parsha B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuben to understand why the Tanai was invalid, by a doctor and a Chacham called in as backup to try to help a woman with a physical defect and a vow. Once again, in slow motion. The confused aiding, that must be Simon Daf Ein Dalet, aid. The confused aiding to the Chalitza Mutes, where the Yavam was told the Yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, which reminds us, a Chalitza Mutes is kosho omer l'chotz la'amana shetitin l'cha matayim zuz. Wherever the Yavam was told, perform a Chalitza in order that the Yavama gives you 200 zuz. Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika said, why is the Chalitza valid? It's because the Avid Maisa al-Chuli Achli l'tanai. Since he performed an act without reiterating the Tanai, it must mean he was mocha on the Tanai. Here too, where he was Makadosh al-Tanai but had beer without reiterating the Tanai, he must have been mocha on the Tanai. So the confused aiding to the Chalitza Mutes, where the Yavam was told the Yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the Parsha B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven to understand why the Tanai was invalid, which reminds us, Rav Acha explained why the Chalitza case is different. Since all Tanaim are learned from the Tanai that Moshe made with B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven, a Tanai must resemble that original Tanai and be able to be carried out by a Shaliach, just like Moshe made Yehoshua his Shaliach. Tanai the lev shel kiyumi al de shaliach will have a tanai. Tanai that cannot be carried out by a shaliach is not a valid tanai, and a chalitz cannot be done by a shaliach. Therefore, no tanai can be attached to it. So the confused aid him to the chalitza mutes, where the yavam was told the yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the parchment they got him in a Reuben to understand why the tanai was invalid, by a doctor and a chacham called in as backup to try to help a woman with a physical defect and a vow. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa regarding a case where the husband was mekadesh a woman on condition that she had no vows or physical defects. If she went to a chacham and he was matir the neder, she's mekudeshes. If she went to a doctor who healed her, she's not mekudeshes. What's the difference? Chacham okras a neder meikaru v'rofa enu merape el mekanu haba. A chacham uproots the neder retroactively from its very inception, while a doctor cures the defect only moving forward. So once again, the confused aiding to the Chalitza Mutes, where the Yavam was told the Yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the Parsha B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuben to understand why the Tanai was invalid, by a doctor and a Chacham called in as backup to try to help a woman with a physical defect and a vow. All right, now it's time for 4 Blah Bah Chazara. Daf Ein, so the Simmer Daf Ein is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The young orphan boys who love to buy bags of one-eyed Martian marshmallows, one-eyed Martian? That must be more on Daf Ein. So, the young orphan boys who love to buy bags of one-eyed Martian marshmallows on their own, which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah in Gittin Daf Nun Tes Amun Aleph, Hapa'otas, young children, which Rashi defines as children 8 or 9, their purchases are valid purchases, and their sales are valid sales with regard to metaltling, movable property. Rashi explains that regarding land, their transactions are not valid until they have two sorrows or reach the age of 20. Rafram said they only taught this ruling she'ain shama apotropos, where there is no apotropos to manage the estate, but when there is, the purchases are not valid purchases and their sales are not valid sales. So the young orphan boys who love to buy bags of one-eyed Martian marshmallows on their own, over at a man prohibited his wife to benefit from him for 30 days, who didn't have enough earnings to buy the marshmallows herself. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 7th Perek states, Hamadar esish l'malhanos lo ad shloshim yom yamid parnas. If one makes a neder prohibiting his wife to derive benefit from him for up to 30 days, which Rashi explains is referring to receiving any support from him, he must appoint an agent to support her. The Gemara explains that the case is when the husband said to her, take your earnings in lieu of your food. Here the husband no longer has a chiyuv to support her. When the Gemara asks, why then is a shaliach needed to support her if she has earnings? Rav Ashi answers, the Mishnah is referring to a case where she has enough earnings for her big items, such as the food she needs, but not enough for the small items. The neder takes effect, but the shaliach needs to provide her with the small items. So the young orphan boys who love to buy bags of one-eyed Martian marshmallows on their own, over at a man prohibited his wife to derive benefit from him for 30 days, who didn't have enough earnings to buy the marshmallows herself, and declare that whoever supports his wife will not lose by it. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said, Ad Shloshim Yom Yamid Parnas. If the neder was up to 30 days, he should appoint a steward to support it. The Gemara asks, isn't the steward functioning as the husband's shaliach? If so, how is this permissible? Rav Huna said, the Mishnah's case is, Ba'omer Kol Hazan Eino Mapsid. But the husband says, whoever supports my wife will not lose by it, so that the steward is not acting based on a command from the husband, unlike a case that was brought from Gittin. Daf Ayin Aleph. So the similar Daf Ayin Aleph is a donkey going, ee-ah. So here goes. The man frantically riding his donkey, donkey, that must be one Daf Ayin Aleph, ee-ah. The man frantically riding his donkey to find a pesach to his neder, not to support his wife for an unspecified amount of time, which reminds us, Rav said, where a man made a neder not to support his wife for an unspecified amount of time, then he must divorce her immediately and give her the ksuba. The Mefarshim explained that since he'll have to divorce her after 30 days, since people will find out about it and she'll be disgraced, she can get divorced immediately. But Shmuel said, afil bestam ol yotzi shema yimsa pesach hanidro. Even when the neder was for an unspecified amount of time, he does not need to divorce her immediately, for perhaps in the interim, he'll find a pesach for his neder and be released from it. So the man frantically riding his donkey to go find a pesach to his neder, not to support his wife for an unspecified amount of time, was shocked when the animal picked up the scent of the fragrance of her adornments, which she had last sprayed 30 days before. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Amudov state that if one pronounced a neder on his wife that she should not adorn herself with any type of perfume, he must divorce her and give the ksuba. Rav Yossi says, with a poor woman he must divorce if he did not give a certain time limit for the neder. Whereas with a wealthy woman, the maximum term is 30 days. Abai explained that a chashuv woman benefits from the fragrance of her adornments for 30 days. A term of 30 days or less is not considered sufficient hardship to demand a divorce, since the fragrance from the last time she perfumed herself can last that long. So the man frantically riding his donkey to go find a pesach to his neder, not to support his wife for an unspecified amount of time, was shocked when the animal picked up the scent of the fragrance of her adornments, which she had last sprayed 30 days before, and then followed the scent straight to her father's home, where she was always eager to run back to. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a mother is ishto shalotel chabes avia. If one made a neder that his wife may not go to her father's house, if the father lives in a different city, then if the term of the neder included one regal, he could keep her as his wife. But if the term included three regalim, then he must divorce her and give her the ksuba. The Gemara notes an inherent contradiction where the resh implies that he must divorce her if the term includes two regalim, and the seif implies that he must only divorce her if it includes three regalim. One answer given is the resh was dealing with the radufa, a woman who's eager to go back to her father's home, whereas the seif is dealing with a woman who's not a radufa, who's not eager to go back to her father's home. Daf Ayin Beis. So the symbol for Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The man who put down his thick piece of birthday cake, thick piece of birthday cake, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Beis. The man who put down the thick piece of birthday cake outside and went into the house of the Avel, which reminds us it was taught in a Braisa, where Mary used to say, what's the meaning of that which is written in Koheles? Tova lech is al beis evo, melech is al beis mishta. It's better to go to house of mourning than to house of feasting. Ba'asher hu sof kol adam, l'chai yiten alibo, for that is the end of all man, and the living should take it to heart. What does it mean that the living should take it to heart? Dvarim shel misa, they should take to heart matters of death. The Gemara explains that this means that he should take to heart that what he does for the mace, such as eulogizing, bearing, or crying over him, will eventually be done for him when his time comes. So the man who put down the thick piece of birthday cake outside and went into the house of the Avel saw the deceased woman's head basket on the mantle, which reminds us the requirement for wearing a head covering is a deraisa and learned from the parsha of Sota. But mid deraisa, a woman is able to go out with a kasa, a head basket, but according to Das Yehudas, it's prohibited to go out with it since it allows her hair to be seen through the spaces in the weave. Das Yehudas requires a more effective head covering. So the man who put down the thick piece of birthday cake outside and went into the house of the Avel saw the deceased woman's head basket on the mantel and listened to her children sadly explain that their father divorced her when he discovered she made a netter not to eat meat or wear colored clothing, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a man is Mekadesh a woman on condition that she's not under vows, and it's later found out that she is under vows, she's not Mekadesh, as it was taught in the Brisa, the mission was referring to the following types of Nedarim. Dvarim shel inui nefesh, matters of self-denial, that she won't eat meat, that she won't drink wine, or that she'll not adorn herself with colored clothes. Daf Ayin Gimel, so the similar Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The ostrich farmer who was Mekadesh a woman with a giant ostrich egg, that must be run Daf Ayin Gimel. The ostrich farmer was Mekadesh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai she had no Nedarim written on it, which reminds us it was stated Kicha al Tanai Knas Stam. One is Mekadesh a woman with a Tanai but married her without a Tanai. Rav says, Tzricha mena get, the marriage is valid and she therefore requires a get. But Shmuel says, Eina Tzricha mena get, the marriage is not valid and therefore does not require a get. Abai said, Rav's reason is, Lefisha ein adam osa bi'laso bi'laznus, that a man does not let his bia be considered a bia of znus. Rashi explains that if he had waived his earlier Tanai, then not only would the marriage be valid, but she would also be entitled to her ksuba. So the ostrich farmer was Mekadesh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai. She had no Nedarim written on it, and then took the egg back when he divorced her after Erison and married her again without the egg. Which reminds us, Abai revises a statement made by Rabba to say, Malchokos betalus isha achas ke'en shtei nashim. The Malchokos between Rabba and Shmuel is regarding an error involving one woman that is like an error involving two women. Rashi explains that the cases where one was Mekadesh a woman with a Tanai that she does not have any Nedarim and then divorced her during Erison, he then took her back and married her without any Tanai, and then it was discovered that she had Nedarim. So the ostrich farmer was Mekadesh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai she had no Nedarim written on it, and then took the egg back when he divorced her after Erison and married her again without the egg, could not tell from his father's silence if that meant he consented to the Kedushin, which reminds us, Abai challenged Rabba from a brisa that taught, if a man said to a woman, Harni balech amanashi yirtza abba, behold, I'm having relations with you, as Kedushin on condition that my father consent, even if it turns out that the father did not consent, she is Mekudeshes. The Gemara says that the Tanna Kamma holds that the man really meant Amanas Sheyishto Ka'av, on condition that the father will remain silent and not object, and the father remains silent. Therefore, the condition is valid. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds that he really means Amanas Sheyomer Abba Hen, on condition that the father will say yes, and the father did not say yes. Therefore, the condition is invalid. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.